Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a surprise guest that's going to be coming on with us. We are trying to reach him right now because his line is busy. But I'm so delighted that you're able to join me this afternoon. And later on in the hour, we're going to be opening up the phone lines. So take a pad of paper and a pen and write this number down. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Because you're going to be able to call in, and I will be able to chat with you, lighting up your life with a little bit of insight. And my surprise guest this afternoon is going to be Donald Dulcinos. And we're talking about Neurosphere. This is the convergence of evolution, group mind, and the Internet. So I know that my engineer is trying to get through right now, trying to get through to him because his line was busy. So as soon as we do that, he's going to let us know, and we'll start. But in the interim, I wanted to discuss vision with you this morning, this afternoon, because vision is so important on all levels of life. And there's a quote that I came across that I really liked by Owen D. Young. And this is how it reads. It takes vision and courage to create. It takes faith and courage to prove. I think that's so important. How many of you have a vision? How many of you have something that calls to your heart and to your mind, and it's so significant within you that you cannot help but reach out for it, and you go, gee whiz, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe this is sort of silly. Maybe this isn't something I should try. Don't give up on yourself, because you have absolutely no idea where your journey is going to take you when you have a vision. And this is something that is gone throughout the entire essence of mankind's experience. And I think so often what ends up being such an empty spot in our lives is when we give up our vision. You can also call it a dream if you like, an aspiration, a desire. But I like the idea of the word vision, because vision is not limited. Vision is not in a box. Vision is not encapsulated in something that has no value whatsoever. So I wanted to encourage you to be aware of that vision. And this, it's so important. One of the things I wanted to share with you, too, was some research that I have been doing on the Native American Indians. And again, we have a surprise guest this afternoon. My engineer is trying to reach him so that we can have him on the air, and as soon as we're able to connect with him, because his line was busy, we will be bringing him on. But I was fascinated with Vision Quest among the Native Americans, and there is a wonderful book, The Mystic Warriors of the Plains by Thomas E. Males. And this gentleman did so much research. He had such a passion for the Indians, for their culture, for so many aspects about them, and he gave such a delightful and insightful in a level of information in his material. And one day I'm looking forward to having him as a guest on my show. But he talked about how among the Indians, among the Plains Indians, it was very, very important that a young person, especially young males, go through an initiation of this vision quest, because it was important for them to understand the value of their lives. And I thought I would share with you this afternoon some of the details that he was able to bring together from the research. And he talked directly with many elders regarding this. And one of the points is that every young man, before achieving the right of manhood and the acceptance as a man among the tribe, which meant that he could go to war and he could take upon the responsibilities of the mature male in the tribe, they had to go through the experience of vision to attain what they considered powerful medicine. And they believed that this medicine came from animals. They believed that it came through visions. And it could also be obtained maybe by a purchase or a gift from someone. However, it was never so effective as that which was personally earned. And the vision seekers, many of them began very young, very, very young, as early as the age of 9. Now, many times, this was not something that was just from one experience. Many times, those individuals that were the dream seekers or those that were on the vision quest, it would go on for years before they would have that experience. And that's why many times they started very young, before they had that experience of insight. And honesty was absolutely paramount. And it was under no circumstances allowed that you make things up. This had to be a real experience. Otherwise, you could experience a very, very negative result if you had no integrity. And there would be others that would know if you had no integrity. And this was the belief among the grouping of the Plains Indians. So the thought patternings that were so strongly indoctrinated in the youth held true throughout much of their life, in fact, most of their life. So when someone was in this seeking of the vision, it really made a difference. Now, what did they do to prepare for this? Well, there were various procedures that they went through. Sometimes it included fasting. Sometimes it was certain sacrifices that you made in one way or the other physically. Many times people would go into an isolated situation, fasting, sweat baths. There was just so many different ways that this could be experienced. And usually it was done in an area that was very much isolated, like I said, and often it was at a very high point. And they felt it was closer to the one above or the Great Spirit. And it had to be done on an independent basis. This was your responsibility. This was your experience. This was your job to prepare for. So it made the individual understand the positioning of responsibility. And you had to be prepared. You had to handle whatever came your way. And nobody was concerned about someone, let's say at 9 years of age, going off to do this. This was an individual choice that they would make. And so they, again, would go through whatever rituals were of their particular group. And they would take this time to use it for meditation, to be aware that this was a very important part of their life. And sometimes it would last a day. Sometimes it could be 5 days. And apparently the Sioux often set up a center post to which offerings were tied, and then they had 4 other posts with cloth flags tied to them in the form of a cross or between which they walked so slowly that a round often took an hour or more. So this again was a form of meditation. And there are many cultures that do something similar but in a different way. And again, this is relating particularly to the Plains Indians. Now, one of the fascinating facts that he found was that vision quests were not always successful, and many times people would give up very, very quickly. And women did this as well as the men. Now, that was a surprise to me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of things that I've seen, or I've made assumptions that it was primarily the men that did this, but that's not the case. The women were often of that mindset as well, but they did it a little differently. The women would go to a hill or a valley. They wouldn't necessarily go into the extreme areas of isolation the way the men did, because they felt that the women needed protection. So they needed to be in a space that if there were another tribe that would come into the area, if a woman was not alone, she would be considered defenseless. So it was very important when the vision quest was going on to understand that it was responding to a call, and this was much respected and honored by everyone. And the Indians, the Plains Indians, believed that in sending information to them through a helper, that the Great Spirit was calling them to reflection and service. And how many different cultures throughout the world incorporate the same kind of ritual in a different way? And I think no matter what culture you look at, there are always those vision seekers. There are always those that are on the vision quest. And today, so many people have the same yearning, but they don't know exactly how to go about doing it. And I had the privilege to review some material on a gentleman who went on a vision quest of his own, and his quest lasted for 15 years. For 15 years. He's going to be an upcoming guest in one of the coming shows, and his story is a fascinating one because it letting down a road of experience that I don't know that many of us would have had the courage to deal with. But I wanted to share that information with you about Vision Quest. And I want to check with Douglas to see if we have had the opportunity to reach Donald. Doug, were we able to connect with Donald? I'm not hearing from him, so I guess that didn't happen. Anyway, I just thought I would share a little bit of that information with you. And by the way, if you'd like to call in this afternoon, the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. We may not be able to connect with Donald this afternoon. Again, his telephone line was busy. But if you want to call in, chat with me, let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, 877-876-5227. I'm going to take this opportunity to share a few thoughts with you about nutrition. It's so much a part of our lives. I know how important it has been to me and to my family and to many friends that I have. And all of us often will have discussions about what's the latest thing about nutrition? What's going on out there? How can we, you know, be healthier? What can we do to make our body stay in a state of wellness? And are there any new areas of discovery? Yes, there are. And one of those areas of discovery is relating to glyconutrients. Now, what are they? The glyconutrients that have been discovered are sugars that are present in nature, in our fruits and in our vegetables. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore, primarily because we have such masses of people to feed. Often the food is picked green so that it survives transportation process. Very, very significant. Well, scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function, and over 20,000 studies are conducted every year on glycoforms alone, and these are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Now, four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. You know, I every day like to bring to you information that is going to empower and light up your life in some way. And I'd like to invite you to find out more about these glyconutrients because they've made such a difference in my physical well-being and in the well-being of friends and family. I'd like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. And MIT, by the way, and their technology review, which was published in February of 2003, and MIT is highly respected, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Of course, education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Why don't you stop by my website, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left of the screen on the home page. You'll see a button that says glyconutrient. I want you to touch that button, and then it'll pull up a page of information. On that page of information is another website that you can go to review more information about glyconutrients. And if you have any questions, give me a call. You can always call me at my office, which is 800-872-8852. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have about it. But glyconutrients, they really, really do make a difference. Donna Sebo here. This is an hour of mind power, and if you would like to chat with me sometime during this hour and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, go to 877. That's the toll-free telephone number to call into, 877-876-5227, and I'll be delighted to give you my intuitive impressions. And then all I request from you is your first name or your initial, and also to let me know where you're calling in from. And that will be a way that we're going to be able to communicate and let me give you the insights that I perceive intuitively. Speaking of intuition, I wanted to also share something very special with you because I've had people contact me and say, Donna, Were there any individuals that when you were developing your own psychic abilities that did something very special that really, really impressed you? Well, there's, geez, so many people that I had the privilege of meeting that had their own particular intuitive psychic talents. And one of them is a man that I'll always hold dear in my heart, and his name was Reverend Humble. Reverend Humble was in charge of a spiritualist church, and this was down in Gardena, California. In fact, he was instrumental in my developing the disciplinary practices that I use with my mind skills. And I can recall many times the best way that he would teach or try to get information across to people to help them become unafraid of developing their own psychic talents was telling about his own experience, and I'd like to share that with you this afternoon. Reverend Humble was a man, he was over 6 feet tall, big guy, had a deep voice, had a presence that whenever he walked into a room, it immediately captured your attention because he was a no-nonsense, very down-to-earth guy that had been raised in Illinois. And he had a twin brother, and his twin brother, interestingly enough, did not share his mediumship skills. And Reverend Humble, when he was growing up, at the time I knew him, he was in his middle 60s, and when he was growing up in Illinois, there was no electricity, and he grew up on a farm that his mother managed to take care of. He had had a stepfather, but his stepfather passed away and when he was quite young, and he said he was a very good man. But there were so many experiences in his life that just were very unique and different. First, his mother was a staunch spiritualist. She had a very strong belief in the abilities of the mind, and this primarily was due to her second husband, Reverend Humble's stepfather. This man had incredible abilities at being able to detect where things were and being clairvoyant as well. So Reverend Humble at a relatively young age was exposed to a lot of interaction with people of tremendous psychic ability of all age levels. And he told me a fun story about how when he was growing up and he was by his mother around, because of his mother, around so many people that had psychic ability, they'd often hold what they called circles in the home. And he said he just didn't want to be bothered with any of this. And at one meeting, and his mother required that he be there, at one meeting he found himself just awakening, and he was on the floor. And he looked around, and he looked at everybody's face, and they just watched him, and his mother asked him, Floyd, that was his first name, do you know what happened to you? And he said, I haven't a clue. How did I get down here on the floor? And she said, well, Floyd, there was an Indian that came through you. Well, he was about 11 years old, and this went over not very well with him. And he said, Mother, you don't know what you're talking about. She said, no, Floyd, you're a medium. You need to know this. So he was quite surprised with this information. And he said, whenever he joined the circle, he would never remember the meeting. And he'd always find himself laying down on the floor. And so she said, this is what's happening. You have an energy that is coming through you, personality, and it was an Indian. And she said, he cannot speak English. So for about 3 years, Floyd Humble would go through these meetings with his mother and the associates, and while he was unaware of what was going on, she and the other members of the group were teaching this in Indian English so that he could communicate through him, and this was his guide. Now, for those of you listening to this, you may think this is really far-fetched. Well, I'll tell you a little bit more of this story. Reverend Humble had no intention, under any circumstances, of becoming a medium. He said, this is absolutely something I want nothing to do with. It is totally stupid. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't have any memory of it. This is terrible. Well, as he grew older, and his mother talked to him about things, and of course he went through his teenage years, and we all know what it's like when we go through the years as a teenager. He went through a number of experiences where he was starting to become aware of something that was going on with him, and then he began to realize that he could be consciously aware and present and not end up on the floor. So he went through a training period with these people around him who made sure that he was safe and he was protected, and they helped to cultivate this mediumship ability in him. And eventually he began to recognize when this Indian presence would come through him and would use him as a vehicle to communicate. But again, they had to teach the Indian English. And so that's what evolved. When he was in his late teens, and his mother had said to him, "You are going to be sharing your talents with a lot of people." Well, he had come to be a little bit at peace with the fact that this Indian wanted to use him as a communicator. When he was in his late teens, he left home to go to work, and he went to a particular town, and he said, "You have to remember again, when I was growing up, we didn't have electricity out on the farm." He said, "My mother had a farm, and we raised broom corn, so we didn't have anything like we are experiencing today with energy and electricity." And he said, "I was in the bunkhouse of where all of the field hands and workers in this adjacent town where I got a job were staying." And he said, "This particular evening," he said, "it was a wonderful summer night." And he said, "I constantly denied that I was going to be involved in any kind of work that is dealing with clairvoyant ability and or communicating with people from the other side." And what evolved changed his life forever. He was in this bunkhouse. All of his fellow workers were out in town, but he had had some things that he had wanted to do, and he wanted to go to bed early because he had to be up early the next day. And he said he went to sleep, and he was awakened. And he said he sat up in his bunk bed, and he looked around him, and there was nobody else in the bunkhouse. And he thought, "I wonder why or who shook me awake." And he said there was a window in the bunkhouse, and there were no drapes over the windows, and the moon was shining through into the room, and he said it was just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful evening. And he said then through the building came this Indian that was called his guide, and with the Indian was a little girl of about 4 years of age, and she was holding the Indian's hand. And he said they came into the room, and they were just as real as anybody could be. And the little girl let go of the Indian's hand, walked up to Reverend Humble, and he said she wrapped her arms around his neck. And he said he could, to the very day he was telling the story, feel the warmth of her arms. And she just gave him a big hug, and she said, "I want you to tell my mommy that I'm okay." Well, Reverend Humble recognized the little girl, and the Indian told him that there had been an accident and that the little girl had passed over and that it was important that he go to the mother and give the message from the child. And he said it was such a profound experience. And because he had recognized the child, there were not a lot of children in the town, and he had been working there for a while, he said he knew he had to do it. And then the little girl and the Indian turned and walked away, and then they disappeared. So he said the next morning he got up and he immediately set out to find the house of the mother of the little girl, and he made some inquiries and he was told where it was. And he walked up to the woman's door and he knocked on her door and he introduced himself and he said, "You do not know me." And then he proceeded to tell her the experience he'd had the night before. And what was so amazing is that as he was telling the experience that he had to the mother, she stood there in the doorway, and the tears started to come out of her eyes, running down her face. And she, when he finished telling the story and gave her the message that the little girl had given to him to tell her mother that she was fine and that she was happy, she gave out a big sigh. And she said to him, "I want you to know you have given me a wonderful gift. And this is a gift that just brings so much peace to me. Because my little girl was involved in an accident, and she did pass away from it. And she said to know that she's safe and happy and well brings me a great sense of peace. He said after that, he knew that his mother, what she had said to him so many years before as he was growing into the development of his mediumship talents, she said to him, though so many times, this is your work, this is what you're going to do. And that's what ended up propelling him into becoming very much involved in educating other people, becoming a minister, and sharing his story and his many, many experiences of the various applications of mind skills and psychic capacities that people can develop for the rest of his life. And he was an excellent, excellent trance medium. For many of you, that may be a term you are familiar with or not. But this was a man that I had the privilege of coming to know, and I have a deep appreciation for him. He was doing what John Edwards and so many other people have done recently, that they've received a lot of acclaim. But there's a lot of people that do this, and many times individuals do not understand or know what these talents are. And so the important thing is, if you are experiencing anything that is showing you that you have a high level of sensitivity, don't be afraid of it. Do not be afraid of it. Have a curiosity. Be willing to explore, because the intuitive talents and intuitive gifts come in so many different ways. And just like within the Native American culture, where they would have their vision quest, you may find that you're going to have your own kind of vision quest, and it could occur in your living room. It might occur on a hike. You just don't know where it's going to happen or where you're going to find yourself led to discover your own talents and capabilities. And I think it's so important for us to be able to research our own gifts and our own talents so that we know who we are, what we are, and how we can do what we need to do for ourselves. So don't be afraid to explore your own intuitive talents. I know it changed my life. It has a continuous effect on my life. And one of my greatest joys is to be able to share my talents and gifts with other people. And so I invite you, if you'd like to give me a call this afternoon, 877-876-5227. Apparently we have not been able to connect with Donald Dolcinos, and if for some reason we are able to, then we'll go ahead and put him through. But otherwise, it looks like we're not going to make it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I'll be happy to do that. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Well, I've got the last quarter of the year's projections for the next 3 months, and I'd like to share that with you. This is for the signs of Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. We've covered the other 9 signs, so this is the last batch that we're going to be going through. Let's go through Capricorn. During the month of June, this is for June, July, and August. These are just a little bit of a brief summation. During the month of June, you're going to find if you've had any financial concerns, a lot of those are going to be erased because you're going to be taking care of money and managing it very, very well. If your spouse is wanting to go and work with money and grow and develop it, that's something that's going to be happening. Now, in July, you might find that all of your prudence of June may have a bit of a difficulty maintaining itself because, boy, there's going to be so many things you want to do in the month of July. So be wise. Be frugal with your money. Just use good common sense and don't overextend yourself. And August, wow. It is something that's going to bring you gifts in so many different ways. If you've had a special wish or special aspiration, this is going to come into fruition for you. Now, for the sign of Aquarius, let's look to the month of June for you. You are going to find that if you're having communication problems during the month of June, that's going to be clearing up. Communication is going to become a lot more effective with you and those who are significant to you. In the month of July, pay attention to your email and the phone messages so that you don't miss something important between the 4th and the 28th. And if you're single, you might find that this is going to be, the month of July, a good time for dating. August, well, you're going to find you've got new friends that you're going to be developing, and your intuitive perspectives are going to be quite strong, so you're going to find that this is going to really work well for you. If you're under the sign of Pisces, Well, in the month of June, Uranus is going to be really prodding you on. You're going to feel very adventurous as you are under this sign that says, keep on moving. So maybe you are going to make some spontaneous vacation plans that had not been in your agenda, but it's going to really make a difference. And you're going to be inspired maybe by something you see or you read, and you're going to find yourself wanting to interact with people more. So June is a dynamic month for you. July, Lady Luck is going to be your companion. And for those of you who are single, I'm looking at something that's really going to be very positive. You've got some good associations here. And romance may be on your horizon during the month of August. You're going to find that physically, because of how you are taking care of yourself, you're going to be feeling so much better. And you're also going to have an extremely good social schedule. But don't forget, remember, find some of that quiet time that you need for yourself. Some R&R. Do that, and you'll find that you are going to really have a very, very successful time. So that's what is left for the horoscope summaries, just brief ones, for Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And that completes our total picture. Donna Sebo here, 877-876-5227, if you would like to give me a call and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. I wanted to share with you a little bit of trivia regarding some food. Did you know that one of the most popular crackers that are made by the National Biscuit Company, and that was established in 1934, took its basic cracker, they removed the yeast, added extra shortening, and smeared it liberally with coconut oil and salt, and named it after a grand hotel. Do you know what cracker that would be? I'm sure you figured it out. It's the Ritz cracker. That is where the name came from. It came from an actual hotel. And do you know that bubblegum, which is a favorite of so many kids, is a mix of vanilla, wintergreen, and cassia. And that's a form of cinnamon. That's what bubblegum is all about. And I don't know about you, and this is my last little bit of food trivia, but Spam has never, ever been a favorite food of mine. Not ever. But boy, I guess I'm in the minority. How? Because meat, Spam, has been absolutely one of the most popular foods in different parts of the world. I mean, really, really popular. In Korea, it is considered especially prized and just absolutely wonderful to serve, and I know as a luxury item in Korea, it's often given to newlyweds, co-workers, and business associates as gifts, and the Hawaiians love it. They have a festival, and there's Spam festivals that go on here in the U.S. It is one of the most popular meats, and I have to chuckle when I found out about that, because so many people that I've known, especially those that came up through World War II, I can remember when someone introduced it to me, and I was a kid, and I was like, yeah, you'd want any of this. This is my bias, by the way, because I know many of you just love it. And they said when during the war that that was really a very popular meat, and it was something that was affordable. Well, in many parts of the world, it is so very, very popular, and I learned that it's not made from a lot of the fatty parts of the meat. It actually is made from some pretty lean parts of meat, of the hog itself, but again, it is an extremely popular food throughout the world. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. I was sent a poem that I thought I would share with you today, and it's Live for Each Wonderful Day. Being that this is a Friday, I thought that this was a nice thing to share with you. It's Live for Each Wonderful Day. Hope is the spirit's sweet fountain. Brightly it sparkles and gleams, thrilling our eyes with new visions, filling our souls with new dreams, springing eternally upward, soaring so heavenly high, flowing with fresh inspiration, lifting our hearts to the sky. Hope is the spirit's sweet fountain, soothing our cares and our sorrows, offering hope and courage, promising brighter tomorrows. Giving us strength for our journey, showering skyward to say, live every wonderful moment, live every beautiful day. And whoever sent that, it was sent anonymously, and I want to thank you for it. That was just a very lovely poem. Donna Sebo here with an hour of mind power, and I want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up. Thomas Kolopoulos, we're going to be talking with him on Tuesday. Monday is going to be a holiday, and it's going to be an open mic day where I'll be sharing a lot of different information with you, and you'll be able to call in on that day as well. And we're going to be talking about on Tuesday smart sourcing. There's so much information regarding businesses, dealing with various aspects of working economically. Outsourcing is something that has become an unfavorable term. Well, Thomas is making it so that it becomes a smart term. Jim Lomanson, he is going to be my guest, and we are going to be chatting with him to talk about the sport of boxing. And boxing, I've never been a real fan of. However, Jim's book is one of the most powerful, powerful presentations that I have ever had the privilege of experiencing. He's just put together some wonderful, wonderful photographs. It took him 10 years to do this. Also, we're going to be talking next Thursday with Dori Byers. Natural Beauty Basics is going to be our subject. And she talks about how you can take natural ingredients. Whether you're a man or a woman, you can feel wonderful. You can be enhanced. Your skin can just feel great. And for you gals, you're just going to feel beautiful, and it'll all come out of what you might have around the house. And Dori is a nurse. And then we're going to be talking with Wes Moss, starting from scratch. If you have had situations where you're having to start over in your life, he gives some wonderful, wonderful insights. So we've got those people coming up next week and some other guests that are lined up for the month of June that are just absolutely, absolutely wonderful. So I invite you to come along and to visit. And again, you have the opportunity to call in if you so desire, 877-876-5227. Nemo, well, we all know about the wonderful, wonderful animated cartoon. Nemo is a happy little fish. Well, there's another fish that was called Nemo. And it was with tongue in cheek because what I came across was some information about this particular Nemo going to college. Now, it's about Dean Pomerlau's pet goldfish. Yes. This goldfish, now Dean doesn't call him Nemo. His goldfish is called Albert Einstein. And he knows how to play Fitch, which the Pittsburgh area engineer hopes will earn this little, as he calls him, a calico fantail, a listing in the Guinness Book World Records as the world's smartest fish. Yes. And I've got photos here in front of me of Albert Einstein. Now, he's a 3-year-old goldfish. Did you know the goldfish could live to be 12 years old or more? I didn't know that. A friend told me that. She's got a goldfish that's 12 years old. Well, this was such interesting information, especially to Cullum Brown, who's a zoologist at the University of Canterbury in New Zealand. And he does scientific research on fish all the time. In fact, he puts fish through mazes to study their cognitive skills. And he often says, fish are not stupid. You need to know that fish do have a thinking process. Just because we're not aware of it doesn't mean that it doesn't. And this researcher, Mr. Brown, he said salmon can learn to feed themselves by pushing a lever. Carp are trained to come when called, so the workers using them to clean up algae can transport the fish from one lake to another. And I know this for a fact because when I was in Honolulu, there is a Japanese temple on the island of Oahu, and there used to be a Buddhist priest there that had carp that he would just snap his fingers, make particular sounds, and the carp would be at one end of this lovely flow water area that they have, and they'd immediately respond to him. They had been trained. So this is absolutely true about the carp. And he also, Mr. Brown said, has observed that rainbow fish recall the location of an escape hole in a fishing net that they found the year earlier. Apparently, fish brains have a structure very different from those of other vertebrae. They develop inside out. Although the brains may not have the same parts as we assume that ours makes our brains superior, they seem to do the very same things. He said, unfortunately, there's only about 3 labs in the world that work on fish brains, so it's taking a long time to really understand what's going on. And in nature, Mr. Brown says, memory equals survival. So fish learn from one another which to mate with and which not to fight with, where to eat and how not to get eaten. Gee, doesn't that sound a little familiar? Don't we do that in life with our children? Don't we teach them how they can survive? Well, it's not any different. In the fish world, the animal world, it's pretty much the same patterning. And he said, you know, that's the reason why sometimes it takes a bit to outsmart them. Now, Albert Einstein, going back to him, this three-year-old goldfish, he can be taught tricks. And I've got photos in front of me where they have like a little fence area, like you would see on the soccer field to catch the balls. And he pushes a soccer ball into the net, and then he's able to go through a tight hoop on command, and then he actually knows how to go underneath a little miniature limbo bar that they designed for him. So all of these tricks this fish has learned. And I think when we think about these kinds of points of information, and some people may say, gee, this is so silly. Who's going to do research on a fish? Well, remember, intelligence is something that demonstrates itself in so many ways. And the more we can learn about other forms of life, believe it or not, the more we learn about ourselves. So much research that's done with animals enables us to know more about ourselves, our lives, and wellness. And I know this because my Scottish Terriers, there were so many experiences that I had over the years with our little Scotties, and one of our Scotties had a particular kidney situation that eventually caused his demise. However, he had had it for a number of years, and there was a veterinarian that was doing research and study on this, and he was the one that educated me on how when he was working with animals, he'd actually do research on human research, whether relating to certain organs, because he said the research that was being done on the human level was so valuable, so incredibly valuable, to whatever was being done with animals. He said we're able often to find a correlation. And he related to me how that's how they had found out how to deal with certain liver conditions among certain terriers. And there was a part of research that was accidentally able to make a breakthrough because of something that was going on in the laboratory. And he said, we found a correlation and a connection because of something that was brought in. It was like a number of similar researches that had to be done with similar animals. And we had been researching on people. And he said, lo and behold, there was this connection. And we were able to help these animals because of that connection. So many times research overlaps in ways that we would never, ever have expected. So all of these things somehow have correlations and tie into each other in very, very unique ways. And again, speaking of animals, I thought I would share with you Dr. Pip Karen's guide to dealing with fleas. Now, if you'd like to call in, 877-876-5227 is the number. He had some information on fleas, and this is a man that's dedicated his life to the well-being of animals, and it has been so very, very important for him because it has made such a significant difference in the well-being of so many animals, and he's published so many different points of information. And I just think it's good to have these resources so that we can do some checking on our own. If you have heard the program that I had regarding Sparky, a little terrier, and how his owner had done so much research so that Sparky, who at six, who was diagnosed with lymphoma, was able to live and is continuing to live very healthily at 12 years of age after a condition that in most dogs would mean their demise within a very short period of time. Well, what I wanted to share with you, because we're entering into that time of the year when fleas are going to be a big problem. And so many of the problems with fleas, they create such havoc. And I know when I lived in California, that was something that we had with our animals. It was a major, major problem. And this is some information that he brings forth. And again, this is by Dr. Pip Karen, who I have a great deal of respect for, And he is very, very supportive of herbal repellent powders. And he said it's important to keep your animals clean. And one of the things that he recommends is that you vacuum regularly any areas where they sleep. And he said make sure you keep any place where the animals are sleeping regularly, whether it's in the house or outside, that it's kept clean. That makes it so important. And he said some specific measures that can help. He said depending on the animal, brewer's yeast can help. Also adding fresh, raw, grated, or minced garlic to whatever you feed the animal. And he said you can wash their skin daily with a lemon rinse. And I'm going to look that up so I can share it with you. But he said if your animal has serious problems with fleas, you really need to think about some homeopathic preparations, because many times there is a specific homeopathic formula that you can research. So you may want to be able to check, you may want to check that out on the internet, or also, you know, check Dr. Pitcairn's site, and his name is spelled Pitcairns, and that would give you some information. But he's very cautious about flea collars because he said they're toxic. And one of the reasons I wanted to mention some information about this is we were watching a dog show just a few weeks ago, and during the dog show, there was a particular dog that came out. And I didn't hear this, but my husband did. They said specifically that the animal had such a sensitivity. It was an animal that looked a lot like a whippet, but it wasn't. I don't remember the particular breed. However, they said that the flea collars were extremely toxic to the animal. And they said you need to pay attention if you've got cats. They love to climb and get into places where maybe the collars can get hooked on something. Also, sometimes it irritates the skin of the animal, especially cats, and they may want to chew on it, so you don't want that to happen. And if they're allergic to the flea collar, they might get permanent hair loss around the neck. So you also want to be careful of flea tags, he said, that hang on the collar, because they can release a toxic gas that can affect the nervous system, so you don't want to use that. And they will affect not just the animal, but sometimes it can affect members of your family. So be aware. You want to find out about the chemicals and or materials that can affect your animals. And I'm really very supportive of that attitude because I know how my animals have been affected by various substances that at the time we didn't know were toxic to them. We have to remember that our fur critters are going to be walking on ground that usually we are wearing shoes to protect ourselves again, so it's nothing's being absorbed through our skin necessarily. But it's the same thing when you have babies. You need to be aware that they're down on the floor, they're down on the ground, your pets, your babies, and they pick up things, they put stuff in their mouths, animals lick their paws. So if they come in contact with chemical substances, they're ingesting that. And I know we can't become paranoid about this, but it is something worthy of paying attention to. So do be alert, do be aware. It does make a difference, and it is something that I think as more of us become more educated, and this is in so many different levels of life, we're going to find that these various things we become alert to and more conscientious about. And because of that, then we're not going to have to worry so much about the toxicity, because we'll know that what we're doing in our environments are promoting the health and well-being for those that we love, plus ourselves. And I think that that is so very, very important. Donna Sebo here, and I want to just remind you to go ahead and visit my website. Check out my glyconutrients page. And again, when you pull up my website, the home page, you'll find that it's to the left of the screen, you'll see a button that says glyconutrients. I'd like you to take a look at it because there are 8 necessary sugars that are very important for your health, and these glyconutrients are something that can make such a difference for you and your family. So I'd like to invite you to go to that website, DelphiInternational.com, pay a visit, and find out more about how you can see how you can better your health and the health of those that you love by understanding how these glyconutrients can make such a difference for you. And also, you'll find out that while you're in there visiting my website, there's a newsletter area you can go into. There's all kinds of information that you can explore and you can investigate. Plus, there's also a listing on my website about the guests that are coming up and the various program information that we're going to be sharing with you. So be sure that you go in, wander around. You're always invited to visit. It's always a delight to interact with you. Now, I know we're just about out of time here, and I want to remind you that this coming Monday, it is, of course, Memorial Day, but it is a Monday that is going to be open line, and I invite you and your friends to call in and chat with me. Also, don't forget, we're going to be talking to some wonderful people next week, and as time goes on, the shows are going to be archived so that you will be able to review them and listen to them at your leisure and your convenience. Well, we're out of time here. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted that you've been able to share this time with me. I invite you to share the information about the Donna Sebo Show, BBS Radio, with your friends and your family, and join me whenever you can from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. Donna Sebo here. It's been a delight sharing this hour with you. Have a magnificent day and a fabulous holiday weekend. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Be safe. I'll be talking with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.